And the kings ruling in these cities spoke Luwian, spoke the related language of Hittite. It was not Hittite proper. They came under increasing influence of the people of Mesopotamia and the provincials over whom they ruled, but nonetheless they carried on the Hittite political legacy. And that included the use of administrative texts, the military system. The Hittites were very good in, as I mentioned, in masonry and military architecture, logistics, siege warfare, and a lot of these techniques were transmitted on to the other peoples of the Near East, particularly the Assyrians, who took over many of the achievements of the Hittite military tradition to forge their own invincible army and reunite the Near East in the 9th and 8th centuries B.C. The Neo-Hittites, however, found that they had to share control of these regions with a group of newcomers. These are people known to us as the Aramaeans, who spoke a Semitic language, who migrated into the former areas of the Hittite Empire and the Asian possessions of the Egyptian Empire and established their own kingdoms. And there you should, again, not think of some sort of conflict between Neo-Hittite or provincial Hittite and Aramaean. There's a great deal of intermixing. Some of the kingdoms had Neo-Hittite rulers, others a Aramaean prince, a merchant prince, or a warlord would seize power. And in time, the language that came to dominate the whole area of the Fertile Crescent, that is Mesopotamia, Syria, the Levant, southeastern Turkey, would be Aramaic. It proved a more flexible and commercial language, and the Aramaeans brought an important innovation, and that is the camel. As a domesticated animal, they developed the caravan trade. By the 9th and 8th century B.C., very much the economic life of this whole area was tied together by the use of caravans and camel, and to some extent a movement away from wheeled vehicles, which was actually an improvement because the camels could negotiate all sorts of trade routes not otherwise available. And so the Aramaeans will give their language as the lingua franca of the Near East and really down to the Roman period and beyond. It's not displaced until the Muslim conquest when Arabic takes over. It's the language that Jesus spoke because it was the language known to everyone in the area. Hebrew at that point was simply a largely religious language. On the other hand, the Aramaeans learned a great deal from the Neo-Hittites. The temple complex, the relief work, which you see in Assyrian relief work, all of this was taken over from the Hittites and adapted as part of this wider Middle Eastern or Near Eastern culture in the early Iron Age. So while the language was Aramaic, many of the cultural forms, the art forms, the aesthetics go back to the old Hittite provincial era. Another important kingdom that emerged was in eastern Anatolia, or eastern Asia Minor, that region between the Euphrates and Lake Van, that extension known as Transcaucasia today. And that was a mysterious kingdom called Urartu, which is known to most of us as Ararat. The story of the flood, the ark coming to rest in Ararat, at Mount Ararat, simply really means somewhere up there in Urartu, somewhere in the distant northeastern corner of the known world. And that's about all the Hebrew knew about Urartu. Urartu was essentially another provincial successor to the Hittite Empire. It was Hurrian peoples who had moved in there, and they're important for two reasons. One, they proved to be one of the principal opponents of the Assyrian kings. They were brilliant workers of iron work, metal work. And a number of these techniques in metalwork were transmitted to the early Greek world through Greek colonies on the shores of the Black Sea, particularly the city of Trapezus. And that's becoming increasingly clear. There was very early contact going back to the 8th century. The second important point about Urartu is that while linguistically they are speaking this mysterious agglutinative Hurrian language, they created the cultural basis for the later state of Armenia. The Armenians, in many ways, owe their traditions, owe their cultural heritage to these people of Urartu, who are settled around the Great Lake Van in eastern Turkey today, which acted as a source of communication. And eventually this kingdom was smashed by an Assyrian expedition by Sargon II in 714 BC, and as a political order collapsed and fell under Assyrian control. Not after putting up a rather impressive defense against the Assyrians for almost 100 years. Now, the Assyrians, I've mentioned them several occasions, the Assyrians were extremely important in in really causing these civilizations to coalesce. It was a Syrian aggression that in many ways caused the Neo-Hittite kingdoms, the Aramaean states, Urartu, to organize themselves.